Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
The Pope is one of us. One of us.
Yeah, do we think the Pope is Fracciacciani?
Do we think the Pope is Fettuccine?
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It is me, Eric Williams, and this week we've got Vinny Thomas. You've seen him on Platonic, the Apple TV hit with Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne. You've seen his viral videos on Instagram, and you've seen him probably most notably in That's a Gay Ass Live Show in Netflix's A Joke Festival, which is the live version of That's a Gay Ass Podcast, which has a show next week in New York City with Anna Gasteyer, Matt Rogers, Peppermint, and more. We're just going to get into this episode, though, because it is that good. Yes, we talk about Pigeon at Pride. Yes, we talk about the Pope saying faggot. And yes, we talk about the cast of Finding Nemo. It's all here, folks. Hit that subscribe/follow button if you're not already subscribed/followed. And yeah, let's get on with the gay ass show. Vinny Thomas is on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Vinny, you have saved the day once before, and now you are here to do it again. How are you, Vinny?
I'm so good. Yeah, this is huge and a long time coming.
Listener, I forgot.
Eric had DM'd me asking to do his podcast, I think a year or 2 years ago.
At least.
And I didn't see it. And then upon searching for his new emails, I realized that he also emailed me twice about it, and I just didn't see the emails. And
wait, that's so embarrassing for me.
Should I not have said anything? He actually didn't say anything. I begged to be on this podcast. I was on my hands begging to be on this podcast.
Well, no, it's actually, I'm glad you're saying it, because it is a testament to the genuine fandom that I have for you. Let's do a little bit of a inside look into the mind of Vinny, but also like, why people don't respond in my emails. What do you think happened when I emailed you?
I don't often look in my, or I've started to look regularly in my DM requests on Instagram, because sometimes when I post a video, there'll be like a deluge. And so I have it set up where like, if I'm not already following the person, then the DM will go to the requests folder.
Right.
Which seems kind of like highfalutin and fancy. And it is. And, you know, that way I can kind of filter who's who. But sometimes I miss like big interesting messages like yours.
Well, it happens more than not, and I never take it personally when message. I'll be honest though, since we're good girls now, good Judies, when I first started the podcast, I started to take it personally, because I was just like, what? Like when I would see it's more when people would read the message on Instagram and then not respond, I'd be like, wow, they do not care if I live or die. But now the longer I've been doing it, and like, I will certainly by mistake leave a message on read because I'm like, oh, I'll go back to it and I don't respond or if it's like too unhinged, whatever it is. But when I first started it, I like didn't understand. But now I like, when you brought that up, when I saw you in person, like what, a month ago, I did not feel any badness, anger, and I was just glad to be sharing air with you. So let's tell the listeners why we actually ended up meeting.
Yeah, we ended up meeting because Eric needed someone to fill in for the Gay Ass Live show in LA because Gus Kenworthy had to drop out, and he thought, oh my gosh, who has so many similarities to Gus Kenworthy? I have to reach out to Vinny. And we are very similar.
Yeah, I would say namely the biggest similarity is your desire to fuck in Olympic Village. One of you has done it and the other one still hopes to.
Okay, yeah. There's nothing in this world I wanted to do more than rail someone or get railed on a cardboard box in a dorm room.
Okay, our sponsors are the Olympics, so how dare you?
Truly. No, we are both from Colorado, though. Me and Gus Kenworthy are two classic Colorado boys, and we both won a gold medal in the Olympics.
if you competed in the Olympics, what would be your sport? And you can go winter or summer, Vinny.
And it has to be a real sport?
Or you can make it up, hon. I mean...
There are no rules. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I don't know. If Olympic tree climbing was a sport, I might do that. That seems really fun. But I don't think it is. Did you roll your eyes or cross your eyes?
No, I literally saw your childhood flash in front of me. And my eyes just widened and did flash. They did flash because one of my questions for you is like, you have such nerd knowledge about animals. And so when you said the tree climbing, I was like, oh my God, I was watching you climb the tree. I was watching you get close to the grasshopper on the branch. Were you a nature gal in Denver growing up?
Oh my God, so much. I wanted to work at a zoo or work with animals my entire life. Mm. Until I was 17, I wanted to be the curator of birds at the Bronx Zoo specifically. I did improv and comedy, and I was like, I want to do this instead, and just through a lifetime of like knowledge collected away to do this.
What career do you think that you gave up on by turning into improv and comedy? Like, what if you were that bird? What's the salary you think of the leader of the birds at the Bronx Zoo?
Oh, I have no idea.
Are they paid well? I hope they're paid deliciously.
I think they get paid more and more as they move up. But as you move up, you work with the animals less. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Like, I would, if I wasn't doing this, I think I'd work for, I don't know, I'd be like the director of education or something at some big aquarium or zoo or maybe even a park ranger. Maybe I'd be a park ranger. There's like a million things I can think of myself doing. But I think this is the thing that I know I would regret not doing the most, because after a certain point, there's no in. You know, with entertainment, it's like you kind of have to start, or the on-ramp is a little harder. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. I mean,
I figured if...
You go ahead.
No, I'm talking too much. It's embarrassing already.
Vinny, this is literally your stage, and I'm going to tell you something, because this is a gay podcast, and the Venn diagram of zoology and gay-assery is not as... connected as one might think, but there is an OnlyFans gay who also leads, I think, like animal events in at a California zoo, and I've seen him get railed, and I've seen him lead a very engaging talk about large birds. I gotta send you his page. You'll love him.
So please, absolutely send me his page. A fascinating young man.
There's one of the things that I love about your comedy, and I do want to get into your history about, you know, this animal fandom. Into, I know in my research, you moved to Chicago to kind of get into the comedy scene there, and then you made your way to California. But I do think that we should start with the gay ass podcast question, which, Vinny Thomas, let me ask you, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
Who do we blame? And so this is, whose fault is it, not when did I know, right?
Great distinction. I would say that it is, who do we blame? And then the follow-up would be, and when did the blamery occur?
I think I blame my mother. When I was really young, she told me to walk with confidence as if I own the world around me. And she said she thinks she heard that from Sophia Loren. I think there's nothing gayer than walking around the world with a kind of feigned confidence that you do not really possess.
Do you think you have held on to that?
Oh, yeah. And I think it's very helpful. I do. I think walking around like stuff is yours, as American as it sounds, is like, it's a good way to like be comfortable in a space.
No, I think it's also a key in the entertainment biz, because I think that what I've noticed with a lot of people, because your girl was not built with Sophia Loren parts. This girl was not told. I mean, like, of course it was. You know what I was told, I think, was? It was like, you were told, walk as if you own the world around you. And I was told, you need to try your best. You need to be nice to everyone around you. And if it's not your best, and if everyone doesn't like you, you will fail. And of course, that wasn't like the intended upon message. But I think that that distinction is, I think that's why I've had to do so much therapy to be able to at least pretend to have Sophia Loren's stunning tits. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I was born with those big old Loren double D's, baby.
Yeah, Italian knockers.
Big old Italian knockers. The gazooms. I think it definitely helps. It's confidence when you walk around places, but it's also the knowledge that even if you're not anything, that you could be something somewhere sometime.
Yes.
And so it's delusion too.
Which again, you need, I think, to have any sort of success in probably any industry, but especially one where, and not to get too in the weeds of it, but I feel like in the way that the entertainment business now is, you have to be creating your own path, audience, blah, blah, blah. And if you don't have the confidence that anyone will care, then no one will care.
Exactly. And I think that's what made me gay. I think the installation of a sense of delusion made me a homosexual.
I find that to be so gorgeous, but it begs a follow-up question, which is, you're growing up in Colorado. Your mother is clearly a gay icon, telling her little animal-obsessed faggot son to own the world, but you have siblings, correct?
I have one brother, but all, like, a ton of cousins that we grew up really close, so.
Did your brother also take on that delusion that your mother trying to pass on?
Me and my brother are very different. We're so different in our personalities. Like, oh my god, we fought so much when we were kids. Now we're best friends. We talk on the phone like at least every day. But when we were kids, it was like we were having like knockdown drag outs all the time. Oh god, he pissed me off so bad. Like every time we would have to clean the house, he would do this thing where he would pretend to have a stomach ache and go sit in the bathroom, which I think is like something that a lot of kids with siblings, like everyone has one sibling who would do that. And then the other side of that was I was the kiss ass who was like, while he was pretending to have a stomach ache, I would be like, I guess I'll do all the dishes myself, even though it's a huge burden. And it was like two plates or something, but really playing it up like this is a huge issue. He was more of an introvert when he was a kid, it's funny. I feel like as we've grown up, he's come out of his box a lot more, and I've kind of retreated a little bit. But when we were kids, I used to sing Destiny's Child songs. I used to make my entire extended family gather and watch me fuck up my way through Bills, Bills, Bills Destiny's Child.
Mm.
And he did not do that. He was playing video games.
Which, again, proves how gay you were from the jump. I think that even non-entertainers at one point put on some show for an unwilling family member, and you doing Bills, Bills, Bills really tracks. But is your, I can assume your brother is heterosexual?
You can assume that, yeah.
And what is, since he, I assume, also does not work in entertainment...
No, he doesn't.
So then I also come from a background of being incredibly different from my straight brothers. What is his relationship to, for example, let's say he sees your Pigeon at Pride video go viral. You have a phone conversation about it. He says, yeah, man, I thought that was funny. Or does he go, why is that funny? What is your straight brother's relationship to your gay ass shit?
I trust my brother's sense of humor more than maybe anyone else's on earth. I will run videos past him before I post them, just to make sure they really land with the everyman. Wow. And it doesn't matter if it's a gay video or not. He'll tell me if it's funny or not funny. Pigeon of Pride he loves, by the way. It's one of his favorites. And there are others that have taken a little longer to grow on him, but Pigeon of Pride off rip, he really liked. I'll also say I don't know which things will go viral and which won't.
Yeah.
When I made Pigeon of Pride, it was another in a long line of bird and animal based videos. I was like, this is kind of fun. It's got double meanings, you know, bread is like money and the pigeons like corporations, and this is kind of fun, but no one's going to get it. It's going to be this stupid little thing that I post. And then no, like everyone was eating it up for some inexplicable reason.
No, I think if we were to unpack why people ate it up, and I'm assuming anybody listening who hasn't seen it, you're going to pause and go watch it now. But basically the quotes that I love so much, it's like, you know, of course it's captioned "A Pigeon at Pride." And as you're, "Yes, bitch," as you're screaming, you finally, as the pigeon say, "Throw out some bread, bitch." And it kind of escalates from there, where we're like, I'm seeing a lot of jock straps, but what I don't see is a lot of bread. I think what is so funny to me is that the pride parades have become so insane. And yeah. I think having a pigeon be a part of that insanity and then making it a case for their own benefit,
their own end. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what, because so many people, I think pride has become a different animal, and we don't need to, you know, go into what
the corporatization of pride,
but I do feel like that pigeon at pride, it just really beautifully gave a fish out of water story, if you will.
I think humans are so, I think they're interesting. I think people are interesting, but it's also fun to consider what that looks like to an animal that spends its entire life in the city. Like, it's not shocked by the pride parade. It doesn't care about the pride parade. It also doesn't care about gay. It doesn't even occur to, like, it only wants one thing. It wants one thing, and it knows that one thing comes from people. So it sees a group of people and it's like, oh, okay, they have that thing. The LGBT of it all doesn't matter necessarily.
But yeah, imagine what those fucking animals have seen in New York, like, or any major city. Like, I do love to think about all the animals watching the faggotry. And, you know, one time I was walking through, when I lived in New York, I was walking through the Upper East Side where I lived, and I saw this really hot guy I was on 83rd in New York. I had to walk 17 minutes to get to the subway. There was no Q train where I was living. So fucking February 8th, I'd be, you know, taking a bus from the subway to get back to my apartment because it was so cold. So anyway, it's just a norm. Humanize me for a second. I was walking home and I saw this really hot guy naked in ground floor apartment. And he was, you know, like, of course, like trying to pretend he was stretching. But I fucking stood in those bushes and stared, because it was like I was, you know, fully 21, and I felt like a pigeon from, well, I guess St. Louis doesn't really have as many pigeons as I was. What's a bird native to Missouri? Thank you. I was a crow from St. Louis that had flown to New York and was gooped and gagged. But the pigeons in New York have, I'm sure, seen fisting. I'm sure they are so desensitized to faggotry.
It's all blasé. They're like, we're finished. We want the bread. Throw out the bread. That's it. Nothing else matters.
What is your relationship to living in another big city, Chi-town, Chicago? How long were you there before moving to LA?
I wasn't there for very long. So it feels like sometimes when I think about it, I was there for much longer than I was. I think only 3 years thereabouts. And I was prepared to be there for a long time. I kind of resigned myself to the potential of my living in Chicago and aging gracefully into like an improv teacher and a humorist. And I thought, like, that's, you know, that's what's going to happen. And I was fine with that because it's fun. Like, Chicago is a great place to learn comedy and to perform with people. It feels almost like college. Like, everyone's doing shows and everyone's experimenting, and there are no stakes because there's really not a huge industry in Chicago.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of ostensibly is trying to get Second City and maybe trying to get on SNL, even though SNL doesn't look at Chicago as much as maybe it should anymore. But besides that, all that aside, it's just a great time with a lot of great folks. But eventually, during the pandemic, when I moved back home and started posting videos, I was like, oh, these are garnering more attention than I think I was expecting or prepared for. And then Billy Eichner reached out and was like, do you want to be in Bros? And yeah, so I auditioned for that, and I was gay Twitter witch number 3, ultimately was cut out, but Nick Stoller, who directed that, pulled me in for his show Platonic, and then I was like, okay, I might as well move to LA because it's all lining up.
Oh my God. I didn't know that was the origin story, Vinny. That's fucking nuts.
Well, that's not just the, I mean, I would hate to make it sound like that just like it came out of nowhere because like,
no, it didn't.
There was other stuff like I started writing for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me during the pandemic too. And I did like one of the SNL showcases in Chicago. And I think all that stuff just kind of snowballs until you get a bigger thing. And then,
it's inspiring because I think that the snowballing is something you don't have the control over. You don't have the control over getting a call from Billy Eichner. You don't have a control from working with that director on the next project. But what you do have control over is, say it with me, Pigeons at Pride. So you have you have control over, you know, putting out the gay animal stuff and the Pope who keeps saying faggot. Like you keep putting out stuff with so much of a perspective that I think it like, you know, it's that whole thing of like, you have to be undeniable. And oftentimes when I have people on this podcast, of course, we talk about the gay origin stories and we talk about the mothers who birthed us figuratively and literally. But I think that I always love hearing the creative journey because it can come across as so unattainable to me forever until I've met people like you and started to try to make things happen myself. So if we do get into the weeds of that, you when you did spend those years in Chicago, were there any other queer comics? Because I feel like there are so many that I love. Were there any that you were coming up with there that you have kind of enjoyed seeing them also rise?
Oh my God. There's so many. I think chief among them is probably Caleb Huron. Inordinately talented. So funny. He used to do this show called Studio 11, which is like this sketch variety show with a bunch of other folks too. Many of them also queer. And yeah, so
he's definitely one. Fucking real. I'm obsessed with him.
He's so funny. He's such a good stand-up. And yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of folks too that I, you know, improvised with out there.
Were you there with Meg Stalter there while you were there?
We bumped into each other a couple times. I don't know that she remembers me particularly well, which is totally fine. I think that's fair. But no, I think we were kind of ships in the night, me and Meg.
I do. Yeah. I just love thinking about the Chicago scene of it all because the longer I work on stuff and meet people, the more I'm like finding out that they were in Chicago for a period. And if the weather was better, I would absolutely move there. I think my brother lives there, and I'm obsessed with Chicago.
I don't think it's that much worse weather-wise than New York. I
agree, and I'm not going back to New York unless I make Andy Cohen money. That is what Matt and I have agreed upon. The only way I will move back to New York is if I'm making...
And just to be clear, you're saying not until you make the amount of money that Andy Cohen has, not until you make Andy Cohen more money. Because that was kind of gray.
I do need to make that distinction. I'm going to make Andy even richer. No, I'm going to make...
until
I make that man a trillionaire. No, I'm going to make the amount of money that Andy Cohen makes, and I'm going to replicate his life, meaning... it's a whole other conversation that I'm not in a place to make any decisions on, but I do want to live the lifestyle of having a gorgeous home in Greenwich Village and taking a car if I want to and not worrying about paying my rent.
How much the car costs.
Yeah. That's what I want.
It's fair. I love Chicago, but it is too cold and I love it out here.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't so cold and there were more jobs, I would absolutely be in Chicago right now.
I totally can see that. It really, I mean... The gay scene is amazing.
Market Days.
Oh, yeah.
Boys Town, which I don't think is called Boys Town anymore, but that place. And
Steamworks.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, the fact that you can go to a town like Chicago and be like, I can have the best meal here. I can go to this museum and see La Grande Jatte. I can fucking sing, you know, fucking Sunday in the Park with George, and then I can, if I want, go to a communal shower and then into a lit up club hot tub at a fuckfest gay sauna. It just, to me, it's like who they don't make them like they used to, like they make Chicago. Gosh.
There was a karaoke bar out there, and after a bunch of us would do a show, like improv or whatever, after we do a show, we go to this karaoke bar, and they had a bunch of Long Island iced teas, and you could put different syrups in them, and they have like this long list of syrups. And so I would go there all the time, and I would get a pumpkin Long Island iced tea. And every time I do, I go back and I have a pumpkin Long Island, because it tastes so delicious. And I know you're shaking your head. Listener, Eric is shaking his head. But a pumpkin Long Island iced tea tastes almost like a chai, but just completely boozy and huge. They're in these like giant fucking, it's so good. Go to this place. I think it's called Shakers. Get it. Go to Shakers. Get a pumpkin Long Island iced tea. They got a million other flavors too, if you want like peach or something else. But
I'm just picturing the syrup. The syrup pump is 3 feet long. Yeah. And it takes.
And no one else gets it. Every time I'm the only person who gets pumpkin Long Island iced teas, especially if I go there in the fall or the winter. Yeah. I'm getting a PLT.
A PLTB. I also want to reference a musicale I saw last night. A Strange Loop is in LA for this month. And by the way, I saw it in New York, but I was years and years ago, and it was like even more incredible than I remembered. But there's a whole song about him embracing his inner white girl. And I feel like listening to you, you know, have a P.
I don't think that's white girl behavior. I really don't. I think it's sick, and I think it's chaotic for what my friends tell me. But I don't think it's white. When I tell white women, their reaction is very visceral disgust. I don't think it's
white. I guess the Long Islandness really throws them.
I think it does. I think the Long Island is what throws them off. The pumpkin, they're like, oh. And then you say Long Island, and they're like, well. Oh.
Yeah, and then you say
iced tea, and they say, and then they throw up.
And then you, meanwhile, are holding in a devastating diarrhea.
While I'm singing Ring of Fire, completely wasted on my on my plitz, dog.
Well, I love that visual so very, very much. But because we had a quick reference to one of your favorite pieces of work, I think it's, you know, let's wet the listeners' whistles by talking about the Pope saying faggot. Now, the first headline was, of course, how do you say the Italian word for faggotry?
I think it's facciacine, but let me look it up. Here, I'm going to Google it while you
talk. While you're Googling it, yeah, the first video is basically, you know, you take the headline of the Pope has saying, you know, there's an air faggotry around the Vatican, and then he gets caught. It's a beautiful example of what we hope to see the Pope doing behind the scenes, which is just being a fucking gay ass hoe.
So frocio and then frociacine, which I think is like
frociacine
is like faggotness, and then frocio is faggot. I don't know, it cracks me up because from what I understand, or at least streets are saying, that frociacino and frocio are things that gay men in Italy say to each other. That's what the streets are saying. So like, it's weird for someone who isn't gay to be saying those words, in much the same way like you wouldn't expect a homophobic man in America to say like, look at those cunty girls, you know, like, so it's the same kind of thing, and people are like, wait, no, this is suspicious. The Pope is one of us.
Yeah, do we think the Pope is Fracciacini?
Do we think the Pope is fettuccine? Yes.
Is he giving fettuccine?
Is the Pope giving fettuccine? Is he giving alfago? I think he maybe is. I don't know. If he's not gay, he's certainly a dandy, like at the very least, you know?
What's the distinction?
He certainly loves the pomp. Oh, God. I think a dandy can be completely asexual, but just dresses in a way that I would describe as garish, gaudy, and gauche, as well as tacky, kitsch, and...
I need another G word.
Tacky, kitsch, and did I say garish?
You did.
Fuck. And gay. I just think it's funny. I think it's funny to imagine old people saying faggot, period.
Yeah.
Especially old Italian people, because that accent does not age well. It's an accent for a young person. Once you get older, you just start to sound like a little vampire. It's just like not It's hilarious. It's so funny.
I did not say. I did.
And I think he's Argentinian too. So the combination of that and Italian makes for this very European, funny, weird little voice. That, mind you, I kind of reconstituted. I did a fly. One of my first videos was I did like an Italian fly stuck in a house. And I was like, oh, the Pope, which was inspired by the Pope. It was the Pope's voice. And I was like, oh, I'll just do this again, but really for the Pope this time. When stories like that happen that are so timely, and I know I can just make the video in 5 minutes, it's great. I think it's the ideal situation because I know I'm not going to burn any like live bits because no one's going to care about the Pope saying faggot in 3 weeks.
Right.
But I also know people are going to like it because I liked it because it's happening now.
Does it really only take you 5 minutes?
Yeah, for a lot of them. Well, 10 minutes with editing because I stand there. I always like to imagine what people must think if they were to like look through my window. If, for example, you as a young pervert were in the bushes looking through the window of my apartment.
Yes.
You would see me fully clothed, like talking to myself, rambling for 5 minutes straight. And then if it's the kind of video I cut, I'll go into it and just make a million cuts to condense it down. But if not, I'll ramble through it and maybe I'll say something that I liked. And so I'll just do that for a second version. And yeah, it doesn't take long. And I try not to make it take long because I don't want to like devote a ton of time and energy to social media because it's kind of scary and uncomfortable there sometimes.
Well, it is. And it's amazing that you've been able to keep your sanity while also putting out funny stuff. Cause the thing that I, you know, as a edit girlina myself, the thing I always love to try to picture you doing is when you're doing the voices of the other, like the tour group that's going through, and the Pope said faggot again, the tour group is going by, and then when you're saying I did not say, and then they're like, oh, you just said fabulous. Oh, you said fabulous. That, where are you recording those into your, how are you doing the crowds and the call and response?
So in the moment, as I'm doing it, I will imagine someone else talking. Uh-huh. So I'll sit there and even just the first run, there'll be pauses because I'll say something and I'm like, okay, this is naturally a point at which someone would say something. So I'll pause in that second and try to imagine what the other person is saying. And then I'll pick it back up and then I'll do that again. And then I'll pick it back up and then I'll go in later and from the other side of the room, record a voiceover that I think would fit in that spot.
And then,
and that way I don't have to write anything out and like, because that gets tricky because then you want to make it perfect. Once it's written, you're going to want to execute it to the point that it's written down.
Yeah.
And then that suddenly becomes a whole thing. That becomes a production. And we're not making productions. We're making little videos for the girls. We're not setting up lights, you know? So, I should collaborate with people more. It's kind of a tangent, but I should. Well, I think part of the reason I don't is because my videos are so like quick and I just do them on my
own. Yeah. No, it's as you say, it is a scary world, the social media. And I think like maintaining your sanity is paramount in terms of priorities. And, you know,
love their productions.
Even Plus is my favorite. I love their Plus ward. I do have to say, though, that while getting into the BTS of the process is gorgeous, I do need to ask you the next famous podcast question, which is Vinny Thomas. If the world was ending, you could only save one character actress. Who would you save?
Thank you to those three different guys who just asked me that.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Alice and Jenny. I think Allison Janney is the character actress and the actress, period. Every time she's in something, I'm delighted. I'm shocked. I'm bemused. She's got gravitas insofar as that's a word that is indescribable, but she has whatever that is. Mm. As the mother in I, Tonya, she was remarkable with that bird. Her chemistry with that little bird was unbelievable. When that little bird kept chewing on her ear and she was like, stop it. I was so, she didn't even want to be phased. When birds chew on your ear, it's annoying. And she was right there. She was in the mix. She was like, I own this bird. And the shirt she was wearing too, people who own birds shit all over them all the time. So they got to have a specific bird shit shirt. And it seems like that's what she was wearing sometimes.
I love that you anyway. You clocked so much the journey of the bird in that movie, because I do remember that, but your encyclopedic knowledge of the bird and Itania really tracks.
Oh, she's so good. And everything. And I mean, she was great in The Help.
Wait, the bird was in The Help too?
No.
I'm kidding.
You stupid bitch. Ah, you got me, Eric. Oh my God. You stupid bitch.
No, The Help.
I'm never going to forgive you.
She was, oh my God. As the mom in The Help, just trying to marry off Emma Stone.
Yeah. The mom in The Help. And then, oh my God, the starfish in Finding Nemo.
Oh, wait. She's the starfish in Finding Nemo?
Isn't she the starfish in Finding Nemo?
I truly trust you with my life.
I feel like she's the starfish in Finding Nemo.
Oh my God, she is.
Yes.
Okay. Wait. Okay. So you know what? The cast of Finding Nemo is stackhead, because my fandom of Finding Nemo was before my sort of like, I don't know, awareness of these capital A actors. Did you know Willem Dafoe is one of the voices too?
Yeah, Willem Dafoe, he's that scarred angelfish who lives in the dentist's office.
Yes, Brad. Okay, so Allison Janney is Peach. Brad Garrett is Bloat. Of course, we know about.
Yeah.
Ellen, Austin Pendleton.
Who's Austin Pendleton?
I don't know. He just sounds important. I mean, I know he's old and he's been in a lot of stuff. And I'm sure someone listening
Pendleton,
is like,
just as a note, my favorite brand of blankets is Pendleton. They make these really pretty Southwestern wool blankets.
Now we've said it. Allison Janney doing Finding Nemo makes me somehow love her even more. To me, it's Drop Dead Gorgeous. That was my first like full obsession with her. But there is a category of character actress that I think begs a bit of time and space, which is the character actresses who play the role of the woman getting cancer. I bring this up because Allison Janney in The Help is a mother who gets cancer. I'm thinking of Diane Keaton in The Family Stone. Say it with me. Mother who gets cancer.
Mother who gets cancer.
And I'm sure there's a long... Oh, I'm sure... is there anything else you can think of mothers that get cancer that is like character actresses?
Oh my God. What was that? What's that movie where they're all Southern and in the house? Did one of them have cancer then? You know the one I'm talking about where they're all Southern and in the house?
Oh, are you thinking of
like Tennessee Williams? You know what I'm talking about. And the name is crazy.
Steel Magnolias?
Yeah, maybe. I feel like it was newer. And
oh, Book Club. I'm kidding. No, I'm sure there are so many long lists of people who make women have cancer in movies.
Oh, kind of Jessica Lange in American Horror Story Coven.
There you go. There's just something about a strong woman, I think, having to, you know, go through the devastation of cancer on film, that somehow watching her overcome that, I think it does something to our gay hearts, which is like...
Well, is it... I think it's elegant, you know? There's something about, getting cancer. But getting cancer with a long cigarette and a head wrap, there's beauty there.
There is beauty there. God, so well said.
Getting cancer and screaming at your daughter that she's upsetting your ulcers from across the span of your giant house. That's beauty.
That's beauty. I also think that it's important for us to talk about your relationship to the character actress that you represented, and that's a gay ass live show, because I think it's too good of a story not to tell. Full circle is that Gus Kenworthy had like a very real, very sad reason he had to pull out the day before the show. He had someone had passed away close to him, and of course only had love, benevolence, and understanding. The beautiful, devastating twist is that my parents had landed in LA 3 hours before I found this out, the day before the show. And so when you had agreed to do the show, it was such a lifesaver. But I was like, the twist is that you have to do Gus Kenworthy's choice, because we cannot rewrite the trivia, the lip sync. And so Gus Kenworthy had chosen... Vinny, who did he choose?
Rose Byrne, the icon, the unmitigated force, Rose Byrne.
Who also you work with on the hit on Apple Platonic. TV show Platonic.
Yeah, she's so great. I will say I did not know she was Australian first time I met her.
Stop.
I had no idea. I have been such a fan of her for such a long time, but she has like a different accent in every one of my favorite roles. Like Bridesmaids and Spy, like she's a different person because she's such a good actress. And so when I met her, she was like, hello, mate. And I was like, okay, something is off. You're not from here.
You become xenophobic with Rose Byrne.
Oh, immediately. I'm like, go back. Go back where you came from.
I'm not going to work with her.
I'm not working with her.
She is not a Christian.
She's taking our jobs. It's so funny. Like, one time she wanted me to get a picture of her. She was in like, they were giving people these robes to like sit in because it was a little chilly. And for some reason, it was like a Versace robe.
For some reason.
So they were just, there's only one robe and everyone kind of wanted the Versace robe. And she wanted me to get a picture of her. And I started taking the picture and she goes, Anko. And I thought she was saying ankle. And so I kept lowering the camera down toward her foot. And then she would say angle more. And I was like, I'm getting your ankle in. I don't understand. And then she's like, I said, oh, angle. That's what she meant. And so then like,
angle,
everyone's like,
angle.
I feverishly cracking up because it looked like I was trying to get her feet in the frame for some reason. Like I had to get her feet in the frame. But no, yeah, she's so funny and so talented. I think. Yeah,
I love that. I love that visual of, and for some reason, I'm picturing you taking the photo with an iPad. and
it was a LeapFrog. That's all I know how to use.
Yeah, sorry, I can't use the phone. But do you have a LeapFrog? You were so candid about the bros journey. What was the? Can you tell me where you were when she hashtag booked? Do you remember like the when you booked Platonic? Like that's a big fucking deal. Okay. Like what was, how many auditions and where was she when she got the call/email?
I mean, I was just sitting at home hanging out. I think what was interesting and what was very cool is that Nick, who directed Platonic, even though I for the scenes I was in for bros, I was in full Wicked Witch of the West drag, right? Like I was in head to toe. I guess I didn't mention this detail. I was in head to toe Wicked Witch of the West drag, head green, wig, the most painful shoes I've ever worn in my life, waist cinched,
bitch.
Little gloves,
bitch.
And I didn't think Nick or anyone on that set would recognize me out of makeup because I don't think I really saw Nick outside of my makeup. What I didn't know was that he had seen my videos online too.
Uh-huh.
And so when he was casting for Platonic, he was like, hey, maybe just try for this one too. And so I did. And I booked that kind of right as him and Billy sent me very sweet emails saying, yeah, this bros movie is too long. We're going to have to cut some scenes. Unfortunately, yours didn't make the cut. But then Nick was like, but it's okay because...
that was in the same email?
That's not how... No, they were different emails. I found out approximately the same time. I'm not telling this story very well.
No, you are.
Kind of like a fever dream. But
and when calendarily was this? Do you remember?
Calendarily. It was early, I think it would have been early summer, late spring-ish. Yeah. So like 2022.
Wow. 2 years ago, and now the reviews of Platonic are amazing. It was renewed in December for a season two. Do you have any gay ass exclusives for what you've heard about season two?
I have absolutely nothing. I don't know what's going on with season two. I'm radio silence. But I was so happy at least to be in season one, you know, to get to play a weird little guy, a weird little straight guy.
Rose Byrne is verse, and so is Vinny Thomas.
And so is Vinny Tom.
Vinny Tom. I said Thomas. French pronunciation.
Oh, Vinny Thomas. Yeah. Oh my God. Wait. Sorry. I'm not doing that. I was about to take such a left turn. As soon as you said French pronunciation, I was going to be like, have you seen Interview with a Vampire? Like the gayest thing I've ever.
That's a good left turn because it brings up gay culture, and I'm here to report I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen Interview? Okay. I think Interview with a Vampire is the best show that no one seems to watch. And it's also maybe the gayest show that no one seems to watch. That first season especially, and I'm in the weeds on the second season already, but the first season was so, like, beautiful. Every episode of that show, and I'm just going to spend the rest of this gassing up Interview with a Vampire. Every episode of that show, it feels like you watched a play and you have to, like, fight the instinct to say, like, bravo, like, after every scene, because it's so, so intense and well acted and romantic and hot and also scary. And
wow,
it's so good.
No, this Anne is a good Rice, pitch.
Anne Rice, the mother that you are, Anne Rice, she did such a good job. And I'm talking about the show, the new show on AMC.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading about. So it looks like, okay, so. I see. So it's based on the 1976 novel by Anne Rice. And then it's now, because it's had so many different iterations, but now it's like a new hot fucking thing on AMC.
Yeah. Look, Eric, I was shocked after it came out that gay people were not gay couples. I expected every interracial gay couple in America to be dressed as Lestat and Louis for Halloween. I just expected it. I was like, this show is so good. But I think because no one is subscribed to AMC Plus, no one watched it. Because AMC, I feel like, had its golden age with... Do you remember when Mad Men, Breaking Bad, and The Walking Dead...
Was 6 Feet Under AMC?
No, HBO. Open your books, Queen. Open your books. Open your books.
I deserve that. No, the AMC did have a golden era, but I do think that history is going to look back on this time as like shows like that that were just like on networks or things that like just were not as accessible as others or like who, I mean, all do. But you're going to a party. How many people are you like, hey, who here subscribed to AMC Plus? Like, I don't think you're going to hear like, yes, it's not, it's not in the zeit. At the Mo.
Not in the zeit at the Mo.
No.
I also think, I don't know, sometimes I wish AMC theaters, and I'm just talking about business, I wish AMC theaters would get in the mix a little bit more with its shows. Like, but it should screen the finales of really popular shows in movie theaters.
Genius.
And like the premieres in movie theaters. I think people would go do that because now it seems like people like to go to the movies just to have fun and it's something to do. So why not, you know, a half price ticket, first two episodes of, oh yeah, you could go see the first two episodes of something instead of just the first one episode in a movie theater. People would do that. I would do that. I would do that just for Drag Race. You know what I mean?
Oh my God,
people
yeah.
Would line up to do that just for Drag Race.
Or like you're saying, like if you were to do a special schedule, you can buy a ticket to the finale or the last two episodes of something and then like watch it with your friends, the final episode of a season of Interview with a Vampire or whatever it is. I mean... She's got a corporate mind, this Vinnie Thomas. She's a businesswoman.
What can I say? I'm kind of a titan of industry. You guys can't see me, but I'm wearing a three-piece suit, and the three pieces are three blazers. So
yeah, he's actually tied the blazer around his waist as a sort of a skirt, but it's a floor length. Yeah. It's a long blazer.
It's a floor length blazer. Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, Vinnie, the corporate speak, the pigeon peak, the Pope leak, all of this has been absolutely stunning, but unfortunately we have to sadly end this gay ass pod with a question I did not prep you on. Vinnie Thomas, if your mother, your queen mother, mother by birth, blood and trade, has the one that made you gay, what is keeping you gay today? Is it a porn star, a sandwich, a bird? Who's doing it?
What's keeping me gay are the thrift stores in Los Angeles. I only shop at thrift stores now, which is not something I thought I would ever say because the clothes are so interesting. And you know nobody else is going to have them because you got them from a thrift store. And there's like fun vintage spots where I could look like, I just got this little rainbow tracksuit blazer from JCPenney's in like the 80s.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, not a blazer, but you know, like the top of a tracksuit, like a tracksuit jacket with like a rainbow strip. And this was back before rainbows were gay. This was when rainbows were just rainbows.
Punk rock.
Conservatives yearned for punk rock. And so I don't know, you find really cool, interesting stuff that you know people aren't going to have. You know it's environmentally friendly. I encourage everyone to thrift as much as possible. I know fast fashion is easy, but I don't know. Once you realize how much of it is just dumped.
Yeah. Like, no, I've been watching the docs. So I've been watching the docs. It's really turned me into a fast fashion anti-hero. Yeah. I think it's fucked.
It's crazy. I think everyone should have less things, and the stuff you have, you should really work on like keeping and repairing. And then when you get something, go get it from a thrift store or else it's just going to end up becoming there's like a beach of jeans. Like,
I know the only problem with this is purely selfish is that when I flirt with guys, I like to ask where their clothes are from when I genuinely like them. And now the answer is always thrifted. And I'm always like,
no, but nice that's to their meet fault. They you. Should say the name of their thrift store. They should be like, oh, this is from Mrs. Annie's big gay closet. And it was only $12. And you can borrow it sometimes, but you have to come over and make out with me. That's what I would do.
Jesus, I need to start coaching the guys that I'm flirting with.
Hey, so next time, would you actually say, I hand him a card.
Yeah, from the top. From the top, please.
And he's actually amazing actor. And then we start furiously making out. And then...
The way you hesitated on that F was so uncomfortable. We start furiously making out.
Well, it's my biggest mission to make you uncomfortable, Vinny Thomas, and I'm so glad that I was able to do that on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Will you tell the listeners, the girls, the gals, and the ghouls where to follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and the website formerly known as Twitter, and TikTok at VINN_AYY. That's VINN_AYY. Thank you, and have a great day.
That's the screen that's all the different colors because the end of your commercial.
Oh, yeah. That's the era screen. Yeah.
Thank you, Vinny Thomas. I'll see you around the thrift stores of LA and beyond.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. And what did I say? Just a gorgeous interview. If you would like to see me live in New York City, come to That's a Gay Ass Live Show. It is June 28th at Chelsea Music Hall. It's 8 p.m. with Anna Gasteyer, Matt Rogers, Peppermint, and more. They will compete for the Champion of Character Actress Knowledge, and it is going to be the last Gay Ass Live Show for quite some time, so you don't want to miss. As a reminder, I'm going to be taking July off from the main podcast, but I will still be posting on the Patreon just about weekly there, so go to patreon.com/gayasspodcast to sign up. It's literally $5 per month, which is truly nothing for the gay-ass content that I'm serving your way. I love you so much, and I'll see you next week for the final episode of the season.
Bye.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.